2 Timothy chapter 3, if you have your Bibles. We won't be long this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now I'm accountable. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Tonight, I just want to give a challenge to continue. There's your title up there, Samuel. A challenge to continue. And really, I want to speak most directly to the young people who went to camp and made a decision these last couple weeks. But for those of us who have been just going through the daily grind, I want us to have a challenge to continue. We find this in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. Verse 14 reads, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray you bless now this time, that it would be a time of edifying. Lord, you've given us your word, and I pray that you would challenge us through it. The Holy Spirit would just put this word in our heart, and that we would go out of here determined to live for you. And I pray you bless the fellowship time afterwards, Lord, as a church body. Lord, we love you, and I pray you bless these moments that we are looking into your word together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Young people, continue the decisions that you made at camp this past week, these past couple weeks. Sir, ma'am, continue in the walk of God that began many years ago when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. No matter the difficulties of today, no matter the trials that come your way, we find in the beginning of this chapter, Paul is writing to Timothy, "This know also." If Timothy couldn't tell, Paul had to tell him, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." Perilous meaning difficult. Difficult days are ahead for you, Timothy, and you need to continue in the things you have learned. Verse 2 through 5, you find everyone else around doing evil, loving themselves, not caring about others, living for themselves. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but having no power, denying the power even of that godliness. In verse 13, there's evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy, these deceivers are going to come, try to tell you things that are contrary to the Bible. You need to continue. You need to go on in the things that you've learned. Paul urges Timothy to stick by the stuff and continue on. Now, Paul writes, "Continue thou in the things." You find this phrase several times in chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me, commit thou, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." In verse 14, "Of these things put them in remembrance." And here, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." I think ultimately the things referenced here refer to the doctrines of Scripture that Paul passed down to Timothy and to many others. Paul is soon stepping off the scene and leaving behind a number of churches that has no more apostolic authority over them. Their focus must turn from the apostolic authority to the Scriptures. We find this fleshed out in verse 16. "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Timothy, you've learned it from a man, but now you must get it from the Scriptures. And he tells him to continue on. Timothy had to become proficient in the teachings of truth. Verse 14, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned." He had to submit to instruction. This idea of learning, very simple word, means to increase knowledge, means to direct your mind towards something, and the result being some kind of outward action. Timothy had learned the Scriptures as a child. We find that in verse 15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Just a side note, it's our responsibility as parents to teach our children. We find that in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Verse 7, "And thou shalt teach them," referring to the words of God, "thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when you come to church." No, when you sit in your house, when you stand up, when you rise up, when you sit down, when you're going about, walking around, you put it on the wall of your house, you put it on the doorpost, it's everywhere. It's part of your family's fabric that parents teach their children the Scriptures. What if they're not saved yet? We'll teach them the Scriptures so they can accept the Lord as their Savior. It's our responsibility as parents to teach children the Scriptures as Timothy learned them as a child. We meet Timothy for the first time when Paul met him on his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 16. It says he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So in the record of Scripture, we find his mother was a believer, became a believer, but there's no indication his father was saved. In fact, he was a Greek, it reads. So I conclude that Timothy learned the Scripture as a child, even in the absence of a father. In the absence of a strong family unit where dad comes to church and mom comes to church and they work together to teach their children the Scriptures, I find a mother who, although dad is not involved in spiritual instruction, she's still willing to teach the things of God to her child. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul writes, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." I think Timothy's mother made sure her son learned the Scriptures. In verse 15, it says that from a child. There's several Greek words for the word child. Paideon, there's technon. This one is braphos. It means an unborn child or a newly born infant, still being carried around. And that's the meaning of this word child. So even before, I'm thinking, you know, Shiloh's age. She's 7 months today. You know, a child that really, you know they're not getting much. But mom still decided, I'm going to teach the Scriptures to Timothy. Even before he can talk, as an infant, I'm going to teach him the Scriptures. So parents, it's our responsibility to teach the Scriptures to our children. But Timothy was a careful student, learning from the Apostle Paul. In verse 14, it says, "Knowing of whom thou hast learned them." You have the teacher and you have the student. In verse 10, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine." Paul says, my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions. And Paul, as a teacher, is saying, you've learned all of these things. You have fully known. That's the idea of investigating. Some of you are teachers by profession. Some of you have taught in Sunday school, and you know that some of your students are following you. You see them listening, and as I see some of you now nodding your head, they're following to what is being said. And you see that test today when you grade their papers. You see that they follow, they've investigated the things that you've said. Then there's the students that are in class, and they still are there on test day, and you still have to grade their papers, and you use a lot more red ink than you do on the other students. Why? They don't follow. They sit there, their mind is elsewhere. They sit in class, and they're not paying too much attention. That's not that important to me, or I'll learn this later. Whatever the mindset is of the student, that wasn't Timothy. Timothy followed closely the things that Paul lived and the things that Paul taught. Thou hast fully known my doctrine, my faith, my manner of life, my charity. All these things Timothy learned as a careful student. So first, we have responsibility of the parents to teach their children. Young people, we have the responsibility to learn from our parents. It's not just a one-way street. Timothy decided, I'm going to grab onto everything that Paul tells me. I'm going to listen carefully so that way it can become part of my life and so that way I can give it to others. Timothy was assured of these things, fully persuaded, convinced, the things that he has been assured of. He was accepting and he was convinced in his own mind of these things. Now, Paul writes to continue in these things. In chapter 2, verse 14, Paul tells Timothy, he challenges him to preach the doctrines of the Scriptures. Of these things, put them, the listeners, in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of hearers. In other words, preach to those people, those other teachers, who are not handling the Word of God correctly. You need to stand up for the doctrine and preach the doctrines of Scriptures. And back in chapter 2, verse 2, Timothy is challenged to pass on the Bible's teaching to others. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You know, Paul lived out what he was urging Timothy to do. It wasn't an ivory tower where Paul handed a letter down to Timothy and said, why don't you go and find some good men and instruct them so that way they can be preachers of the gospel in generations to come. No, he said, you've learned, you need to continue, but you need to pass it on to others. You need to continue on. 2 Timothy 4:7, Paul writes, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Had Paul been bitten, training other people? Why, sure. The end of the letter, he writes, Demas hath forsaken me. A man that Paul had invested time into, just like Timothy, and Demas said, I have something else to do with my life. I'm going to go follow another dream. You find Titus, he left him in Crete, but now he's in a place called Dalmatia in modern-day Croatia, hundreds of miles away across a sea, not where Paul had left him. Oh yes, Paul had been bitten. Paul had tried to pass it on to others and seen others take it and put it in the closet, or others take it and mutilate it into false teaching. Despite the heartaches that Paul faced, he still encourages Timothy to continue on. He says, it's worth it. In chapter 4, verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. Paul challenges Timothy and us tonight to continue in the things that we've learned. Now, in application, a decision that you've made for Christ, continue in it. You've been convinced in your mind by the preaching of God's word in days past that I need to set my life in a certain course and I need to do certain things and I need to trust God in these certain areas, and you've given that over to the Lord and you've made a decision, continue on it. The word continue really means to abide, to remain unchanged. Think back to that day you made that decision, and not just at camp, but a decision of surrender you've made, a decision of in life that you, sir, you, ma'am, have made, and you know that is exactly what God wanted you to do. Go back to that time and get back to that place of just remaining unchanged. Continue in it. Just stand fast on it. I know this is where God wants me to be. I'm just going to continue on. I know this is the path that God has chosen for me. I'm going to continue right where he's planted me. This is the decision God worked in my heart, and I'm going to continue and put it into action. Continue. God challenges us to hold fast to the things that we have learned and to continue on in them. The story is told about the famous Polish pianist Paderewski, who once was scheduled to perform at a great American concert hall. In the audience was a mother with her fidgety 9-year-old son, as 9-year-old sons may often be. Weary of waiting, the boy slipped up from her side, drawn to the piano sitting up on stage before the concert began. Without much notice from the audience at first, he sat down on the piano bench and began playing Chopsticks. We've all heard it. The crowd begins murmuring, then it turns into a roar, and you hear shouts of, get that boy down from that piano. When Paderewski heard the commotion backstage, he grabs his coat and rushes on stage over to the boy, and reaching around from behind, the master begins improvising a counter melody as the boy plays Chopsticks. As the two of them play together, Paderewski kept whispering in the boy's ear, keep going, don't quit, son, don't stop, don't stop. And I believe that's the challenge God has for us this evening. Continue thou in the things that thou hast learned. You've been assured of them. You know the person you've learned them from. You know the scriptures that you've learned them from. You've seen God to be faithful. So continue on. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the comfort that it brings. I also thank you for the challenge that it brings. And Lord, if there's one tonight that is just faltering with the decision they've made for you in the past, I pray that you would just work in their heart, Lord, that they would make up their mind to continue on in your will. Pray for the young people, Lord, who went to camp. Lord, I thank you for all the decisions that were made, and I pray that they would continue in them and that they would bear fruit in days to come. Lord, we love you and we thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.